brothers and sisters. It's not me that's been a blessing. It's you that's been a blessing unto us. It's not me that's been a blessing. I thank God for you guys. And I said that before. I believe without your pastor, without this church, I probably wouldn't be in the mission field right now. I said that before. And because when I went to Haiti, for the first 7 months, I mean, there was no support, nothing whatsoever. So it was your pastor that actually went to Pastor Ivan to ask what's going on. I mean, why Moise never received any support in the mission field? And I was ready to pack my bag. So I thank God that the Lord put it in his heart and to actually went to Delaware and settle the thing. So it was not only that. I mean, there's a lot of things that happened in between. But even now, for my wife to come here, for me to be able to come with my wife and my children, I needed their help because they said that I don't have a job in America. And I cannot support them. That's what they said. I said, yes, I can support them. They said, you have to have somebody in America that have to be like a sponsor. You need a sponsor. So Pastor Rich had to do that for us, I mean, with his wife. And we really thank the Lord for them. I mean, all these things, I mean, you always a part of it. And I bless the Lord for that. I mean, without that, I wouldn't be able to come up with my family. And again, you all know the story again. I mean, to have my wife, it was you again. So today, Brother John in the printing shop was telling me, "Bye. I mean, once you have your wife and children, man, what was in that truck?" So in that truck was a wife and a couple kids. I mean, I thank God. I mean, for that truck. I mean, for you guys that are involved so much in the Haitian ministry that we have there. Without which, so it would be a disaster. And I thank God. Usually, I prefer it. I mean, when the church has question, because you know I might be explaining some things, and there's a lot of things that I miss. But when you have questions, we can just cover the whole thing. So I don't know. I mean, if you have questions, I mean, it's amazing that I see that I've been there for 8 years. 8 years. I mean, it just flew by. And that's, but only by the grace of God. And I thank you for your prayers, because like I said the other night, I mean, I thought that, you know, many times, I mean, my life would be taken, but the Lord preserved me, and I'm glad, and I'm here with you, and it's a refreshing time when I know that I can come to America, and enjoying this time with you, and especially the fellowship that I've been having with the brethren, just like every day, I have a different family. Man, that thing is just so good, so sweet. I thank you very much. We really appreciate that. And my wife, I always told my wife, I said, "Honey, if I was living in Haiti, I probably would quit already." And I said, "When you go to America, you see a different stuff. See a different thing." Because, yeah, she already sees it. She said, "Wow, that's true what you're saying." I mean, we don't have any fellowship. It's just terrible. It's just terrible. It's just killing you. We are afraid of a lot of folks. We are afraid of people. And you say, why? I mean, I tell you, if you were there and then being there for a few years and see what's been happening, then you would be. You'd be afraid of folks. Like I remember, there was a lady that sent us some soup. I mean, a big bowl of soup. And then she meant to do us home. It was January 1st. And she acted like she was, I mean, she fell in love with us and loving my wife and everything. And then she meant to do us harm. And thank God we didn't drink that thing. It's crazy. I mean, that's just the way it is. We're afraid of folks, you know. Why? I don't know. Just wickedness. But that's just the way it is. And so many times, I remember my wife, after having, her first child, I mean, the both of us, C-section, and she was, I mean, swollen, and she had her blood pressure was like 220 over 120, and the doctor called me aside, And she said, doctor is she, that's a woman. And she said, dear friend, Pastor Morris, I'm a doctor, but I cannot touch this case. This is too much for me. And we have to pray for your wife instead, because I think she may not leave. And I said, why? She's going to die. And it was amazing, because when she referred us to another doctor, and the doctor said, you have to put her in the hospital. I said, no, I can't put her in the hospital. Because if you put her in the hospital, you got to put me and the baby. Because I cannot leave her. Because I feel in my spirit that she would die if I did. And the doctor said, but you don't want her to be in the hospital. So if you go home, I mean, she might die. If you see that she cannot breathe tonight, if you call me, I might not be able to come. Because, you know, the people are afraid to go at night time. There's a lot of, you know, criminals in the streets. And I said, I trust the Lord. You can send her home with me. And, I mean, her feet were swollen. Her legs. And I that was a week after she had the cesarean. And I remember through the night, I was praying. And she was sleeping. I was praying. I was crying. I said, Lord, I mean, you sent me here as a missionary. And explain to the Lord, I mean, all the things that, you know, I wear and do. And please, I mean, show us favor. And I held on her feet and praying. And the next day, her blood pressure was normal. And then she became normal. And I thank the Lord. It was something else, I mean, that was happening to her. I mean, that's the land of hate. That's just the way it is. It's not everything the doctor can fix. So you gotta pray the Lord. You gotta trust Him. You gotta just go that way, and the Lord will do the job. And I thank God that, you know, that preserved my wife. Amen. And there's so many other things. You know, I don't know. Pray for the ministry in Haiti, because we plan to move to the big capital. I mean, to the big city, to the main city, which is Port-au-Prince, and this is very expensive, and this is hard, but. The things that I realized, I mean, throughout these years, is like, there's no revival. I mean, in this period of time, I mean, there's no revival. I see a revival is going on there, but it's something that is so evil. I mean, people think that they're going to raise the dead, and they think that they're going to, you know, speak in tongues and do all the kind of craziness. This is foolishness. So, we probably need a school, I mean, to be able to help the people. I had some pastors that come to my house. I mean, I have a study for them like every Monday. But these are the guys that have been to a theological school already. They got a diploma of being a theologian. But truly, they know nothing about the Bible. I mean, the sad thing is like, no pastor's ever heard of the King James. So, I mean, whatsoever they do, it's going to be, you know, mingled up with the bad seed. Because they don't have the King James, and they never heard of it. I've heard that somebody was working on that thing, and then he said, whosoever that was working on this Bible cannot be right, because this man cannot be saying that, you know, he's working on the Bible. I mean, the Bible is already perfect, but he doesn't know. I mean, the Bibles are crooks. That's a bunch of filthy things. I mean, you need to throw into the trash. They just don't know that. And I always say the ministry will start when we have the King James. And I always say that. And I believe like now we can start something, because we actually started doing something. I mean, we're done with the New Testament and then with the Psalms and the Proverbs. And we're trying to print it and to go with it. And then we can start something. And it was amazing. I've been preaching in three churches in Port-au-Prince. And when I was coming here, one church, I've been having a conference for that pastor, and they told me, Pastor, could you give us another week? I mean, next Sunday. And I didn't want to because I wanted to come to America. But finally, I did. And then these guys had a big party for me. They gave us like four gifts and gave me a plate with my name and, you know, on it, I mean, and everything. And then their speech went like this. We are a church. But we were in the dark until Pastor Morris came here to preach. And I was like, what? I mean, they said they were in the dark. I mean, they never heard of something called a King James. Even the pastors came with their own Bible. They said, can you check this for me to see? Tell me, is this one good? I was like shocked. I mean, but I thought I would never find out in Haiti. But that's a good group of folks. I mean, they're just waiting, I mean, for you to come and preach them the truth. I mean, they know they're thirsty. But somebody got to come and show it to them and tell them. And they have to be able to see it. You know, and your Bible, I mean, you have to, because sometimes they said, I don't see what you just said. I said, in this verse, they read the verse, they said, this is not what it says. And I said, see, I just told them to take a pen and fix it. You just take a pen and erase what they have and just fix it. And they did it. And in front of their pastors. It's amazing thing. I mean, there's hope. There's a little hope. A little hope where, I mean, we can actually work through the pastors, I mean, through the other churches. I said, before I went to Haiti, I would never, I mean, get together with other churches. Because it is a dangerous thing. Because over there you see pastors killing pastors. I don't get this thing, but it's a mess. But the thing is, I've never done it. The League of the Pastors, this is an association of pastors. They call it the League of Pastors. They sent me a couple letters. I mean, invited me. I've never been, and I will never go. Because I know they are wicked, and I know there's nothing they're doing right. There's a witch pastor in the south where we are. This guy, I saw what he had done to the League of Pastors. He came, he introduces the Christian Mardi Gras, like Christian Carnival. I was like, what? I mean, Christian Mardi Gras? I've never heard of that. I mean, this guy had some guys came from Boston, came from Florida, and came from Canada. I mean, they had a big stuff, man. They took a few television channels and radios, and they just took some big, I mean, trucks, and everybody's just dancing with their Bibles in the streets and like a rah-rah band. Like rah-rah band is a voodoo band. Like a rah-rah band. And I was so shocked to see this thing. I mean, this guy come like to curse the country. And they all trying to say, listen, we find carnival, we find like Mardi Gras in the Bible. So it's right here. And the next evening was going to be my evening to go to the television, because I was preaching for like 2 years in that television station. Actually, I went through the whole thing. I mean, started from Genesis, I mean, coming to this age. I mean, how every generation, you know, the devil used music to start that thing going on. And how, I mean, music are different from generation to generation, and then what kind of music we should play in the church and everything else. And I said, this guy that came with a Christian carnival, he's a cursed man. And I hope the Lord get into him. And I tell you, these guys, if they could, they would. If they could, they would destroy me. But the Lord will never let that happen. Because I get some few phone calls saying that we're going to make you leave the South. And then when they call again, and I couldn't see the number. That's the problem. And I said, are you a chicken? I cannot see your number. I said, I cannot even see your number. If you are a man, just show yourself. I said, you know my address. I'll be waiting for you at the gate. I mean, that's the truth. I'll be waiting for you at the gate. I mean, don't just threaten me on the phone. And I cannot even see his number. You know, it's just like one time, one called me saying that, I mean, he's going to do this and that. And when, you know, they persecuted me on the phone, and I said, I have to stop these guys. And I went into the air. I said, you guys that have been calling me, I have news for you. If you want me to leave, you got to kill me first, because I will preach the gospel standing upon your heads. They never called me again. And that was the last thing. And, I mean, yeah, I mean, they want somebody to talk to them. They think like, I mean, they say something and you got to run. I mean, I don't think so. I told them I'm a dead man, so just do your best. Yeah, just do your best. I'm already died. So if the Lord can send me into this country, so forget it. Just do your best. So I thank the Lord, I mean, for what he's been using us over there for. And we will continue as long as, I mean, the Lord will. So we just thank you guys, I mean, for being a part of this ministry. And because, like I told you, if it was not because of this church, we probably would leave over there. So, do you guys have any question? I mean, before we start anything.
Do you have any idea what it's going to cost you the purpose is very expensive. And that we have somebody right now, he's an engineer, he's a salesman, his name is Percy, Engineer Percy, and he's been looking for us to see, I mean, what can be done. So it's very expensive. Like, I remember the last little piece of land that we, thank you. It's open? It's open?
It's open.
No.
So he, no.
On?
Okay.
Just turn him up a little bit.
Thank you. So, I remember that little piece of land was like $70,000 they asked me, and I just let that thing go. But the whole country is just so expensive, guys. It's amazing. I had a missionary come from here. He was a cop. He came from here, he came to Haiti, and his name is Christopher. And I was happy when he came because I've been praying for help. I need somebody to come to help me there. And when he came, I was very happy. And then he said, brother, could you, I mean, help me find a place? And I was so thrilled, and I took him to the town and to show him, you know, some land and some houses. He was so shocked. The man was so shocked. I mean, instantly he had a diarrhea for 3 days. I mean, it was amazing. And he says, what? I mean, 500,000, they asked him for a little land. He says, that's not true. That's Haiti. And I said, brother, that's just the way it is here. You have the drug guys and the UN. That's what they do to this country. I mean, for example, the UN, any apartment, nice apartment you have, they can pay $2,500 a month for it. So the owner of the places refused to put the price down because they know the UN will pay for it. And they know the drug addicts will pay for it. You know, they have a lot of money. They will pay for it. And it's sometimes I ask the people, I said, listen, guys, I mean, this is Haiti. I mean, you're talking about you have like a golden state, or this land is made of out of diamond or something. The guy said, let's go to Dominican Republic. I'll find you a lot of land for $10,000. Dominican Republic next door. They're cheap. And they're better. Yeah, I mean, but Haiti is just crazy. I don't know where they're going with this stuff, but that's the reality of it. That's where they go. This little piece of land, guys, you see next to my house. You remember where we put the yellow bus? They asked $30,000 for that thing. And that's ridiculous. A little piece of land. It's not even. I mean, a 16th. So that's just how it is. I mean, everything is just so expensive because the diasporas can pay for it, and the UN just will always pay for it. And the other surprise that we have there is like the UN. The people want the UN to leave, but I don't think they're going to leave because they actually rape boys and girls. The UN do that. They rape boys and girls. I mean, 8 years old, 10 years old. The UN is bad news. The UN is bad news. I mean, they do whatsoever they want. And there's no prison for them. There's no judgment for them. They kill you and that's the end of it. That's the end of it. Yes, Lord. I decided to go to Port-au-Prince because I feel really in my spirit that I must move. And I prayed. I wrote the verse down since that day, but I just don't remember it. I asked God for a verse. I mean, for that. Because I feel, when I was in the first place that I was, I felt like the Lord put in my spirit to come to the city. But I didn't, because I thought it was the devil that was trying to move me. But it was the Lord. And this is exact same feeling. And the people in the South, these people, they don't want the gospel. They don't want it. What the people need in this countryside, they need clothes, I mean like clothing and then money and then food. And then just bring them a little Jesus, but don't give them too much. But in Port-au-Prince, where the people are really in trouble, they cannot find a place to live, where there's a lot of crimes, like people are just, it's a shooting almost all the time, and kidnapping everything. I mean, they do believe more than in prayer and in the Bible. Yeah, they believe more in that. I mean, you see all the, it's not like because of all the churches are full with people, because, I mean, hey, they don't have sound doctrine, it's just like, it's a mess. But we've been preaching in three churches in Port-au-Prince. I didn't go and do that. And the Lord had them found me, and then they actually invited me, and I went, and then they kept inviting me, and I went, and all the churches heard about me. I mean, they invited us, and we went, and they've been very happy. They've been very happy, and then the Lord seems like He's leading our hearts, I mean, this way. And just like I told my wife, I said to my wife, I believe that the Lord is closing this door here in the South. Whether we go back, whether we go to Port-au-Prince or we go back to America. Because it's closing. I mean, the door is being closed. And I thank God, I mean, we taught like four preachers, one in Port-au-Prince and three over there in the South. But we have two that are actually preaching in this church that we have right now in the South. And the other one is in Port-au-Prince. And he went for a university, I mean, to go to a good, better school. I mean, you got to go to Port-au-Prince. So that's where the other preacher, Moise, is. What's the other question? No more question? Margaret, you have a question. Brother John. It's for example, the 2,000 tracks you guys said for us, I gave that thing, I think, to four or five other churches came to my door to ask for it because they saw the track and you know, from other people's hand, I mean, that we give out in the streets. And every time they go in to do some evangelization, and they came and they asked, and we give them. And the pastors cannot find materials. They don't know where to find them. And that's one. And the second thing, I believe, I always believed there can be a revival in Haiti. I always believed that. But now I doubt that. But I do believe there can be a revival inside of the churches. You see, the belief is different. So I always believe, and you know, even before I went to Haiti, there can be a revival in Haiti. But now I don't believe that. But I believe now there can be revival inside of the churches. I mean, where they actually, if they have a conscience, and then they can get the good stuff, and they will love it. I believe, you know, the pastors will be revived in their, with their churches. That's exactly what we're shooting for. I mean, to have it. Like, this work that we just finished, we made it just like a study Bible. I mean, with a lot of commentaries and cross-references that the people really can sit and look into it and study. I mean, I believe that that thing will help the churches. Because, I mean, it's amazing to see no church in Haiti knows about like five crowns. I mean, if there's a crown to get, they don't know anything about that. I mean, they get saved and that's it. I mean, they get saved. I mean, it's sad. It's really sad. It's really sad. I remember we had the last 2 weeks ago, I had a 4 day conference with the church in Port-au-Prince. And after the 4 days, the pastor didn't come. And he came on Sunday morning. When he came on Sunday morning, he was telling, he said, guys, you that are in the church that are living together and are not yet being married, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, you will not go to heaven. And you need, you've been living together, you need to get married. And if not, you will not go to heaven. And then I stopped right there behind him because I was going to, I'm the one who's going to be preaching. And then I see all these young folks, I look at them, and then they're looking at my face and smiling. If the pastor was there that week, he would have learned not to say that. Because all these guys that are sitting there, they know it better. Because they had thousands of questions. I mean, we went through the whole thing. And the pastor was absent, and now he's throwing the false doctrines, and the people are smiling. And they're looking at my face, they said, and their own church, the pastor, is, I mean, if he was there, that thing would be fixed. He was absent, the people know better. It's, I mean, I believe something can be done. I believe something can be done. Inside of the churches. You, another question? Or should I preach? Okay, we're going to, man, I think this, I've been preaching in like two series. Like, this is too long for the time that we have left. But we'll do our best. We'll do our best. So we're going to 2 Timothy 4:7, and then Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12 and 2 Timothy 4:7. So let's close our eyes for a few seconds. Thank you, dear Father, for everything. Thank you for your mercy, O God. Thank you for everything that you have done in our lives, O dear Father. Thank you so much for this church. O dear Father, that this church is always busy doing something for you, Father. Please continue blessing them. Thank you so much, Father, for my wife to actually see that. Thank you so much, Father, for all the zeal and the love and the charity that you give unto this church, Father. And I would wish that thousands of millions of churches would actually have that. Father, thank you so much, Father, for this refreshing time and the good time that we've been having with your people. Bless us tonight, Father. Open our eyes, Father. Give us a better understanding. Thank you so much for everything. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, it says, I have fought a good fight, and I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. This message I entitled Endurance, which is the same word in French. Endurance. I mean, because so many people have started something and they just never finish it. And I've known a lot of folks like that. And I believe that, I thought I was like that somehow. And you start something and you just don't finish it. But in Christianity, I mean, you need endurance. I mean, Paul says, like, he finished his course. And when he was done with it, he says, he kept the faith. He says, he kept the faith. He says, it's a fight. I mean, since we got saved, brother, it is a fight, I mean, just to be alive in this world. So, it is another fight. I mean, after you got saved, you say, how comes another? I mean, we have help when we got saved. Of course, I mean, we are sealed with the Spirit of the Lord, and we have the presence of God, I mean, every day in our lives. I mean, we don't have to just carry everything upon our shoulders. I mean, we can just, you know, give them to the Lord and trust Him to take care of the situation. It is a fight, and we need endurance in these last days. Because I remember when I was in... Pastor Bob Militello, that was my first church in Brooklyn. I remember the guys had a group of prayers, and they said, "I don't have to pray for. We don't have to pray for Moses." I said, "What? What do you mean you don't have to pray for Moses? Moses will never backslide. I said, that's dangerous. That's dangerous. What makes you think that I'm not going to drop next week? I need prayer, just like everybody needs prayer. And then when I hear that some of the pastors that's been there preaching for 20, for 30 years, man, and then now they just, they have made shipwreck or just fall flat in their faces. I mean, this is sad. And it's tough. And that thing just bring me into humility. Just like, oh, Lord, this is tough. Please spare me. Because if these guys, something can happen to them, man, I'm just not going to last. You know, I ask the Lord for a favor. I mean, to keep me. But there's one thing that I try my best. I said, you know what? I take this word out of my vocabulary. I said, Lord, instead of just give up on you, I would rather dead. Yeah, I just take it out of my vocabulary. I said, Lord, I will not backslide because I would rather dead. This is a better choice. I mean, that's my choice. And I hope the Lord really do exactly what I said. Yeah, I'd rather die. Because I remember me as a jazz band musician. I remember me as a student. I mean, man, it was terrible. I mean, to live a life like this without God. I mean, now we know the difference because we know the difference being filled with the Spirit of the Lord and don't have it at all. So we know the difference. We just don't want to live through life without it. I mean, it's not like you're not going to lose it. But there is a difference. I mean, some Christians never get filled. And we know the difference being filled with the Spirit of the Lord and not. So we just don't want to live without it. It's just not possible. Because life is just miserable enough. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 3. It says, and we don't need the verse 1, but we'll read it anyhow. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a crowd of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which do so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I mean, the Christian has a race. I mean, that is set before him. I mean, you just come into Christianity and then boom, there's the race. Right in front of you, just start running. And there is a balance in that thing. You don't just run and then try to, outdo everybody or just tackle their feet or whatever. It's just, you should have a balance and to be able to do it. I mean, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I mean, while you're running, it's just like your eyes have to be set right on Jesus. Because, I mean, if you don't, it's going to be, you're going to lack of motivation and desire and zeal, I mean, and courage and discernment and power even to finish the race. If you don't. Because you see, Peter started walking on water. I mean, no man can do that. He had the faith to start it. But man, he got drowned. Because he took his eyes off him. So, I mean, Paul says, I mean, a lot of them made shipwreck. Because they took the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. They took the eyes off him. And that's what he's trying to tell you, that looking unto Jesus, because he's the author, I mean, where you started, I mean, just like Pastor was preaching in I think, Romans chapter 12, and then he's the finisher. I mean, finisher until he gets you from this planet and go. So you have to keep your eyes fixed right there. It says, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. We had a race set before us, and Jesus Christ had a joy set before him. I mean, for him to be able to endure that cross. I mean, you guys know that joy that was set before him. I mean, the cross was so hard. Jesus Christ said, listen, if it were possible, Father. I mean, he just probably wanted to do it without the cup. Yeah, I mean, after that, quickly, I mean, he changed his mind. I mean, he said, Lord, okay, let's go to the original plan. The original plan is not as I will, as thou wilt. Let's go back to that plan. But listen, He says he didn't do the cross because he could see the millions of Christians in eternity. I mean, the millions of people that would just be burned in hell. He just saw them enjoy. And when he see that thing, man, that thing helped him to undo the cross. He said, oh, that's just a little moment. Let's just undo it because all these folks are going to hell. I mean, we were going to hell. He undid the cross because he could see us. I mean, million years ahead, he could see, I mean, how we're going to have a glorious body like him and how we're going to be, I mean, just like the other spirits that are with him. I mean, he just endured the cross saying, this joy, it's just amazing. He says, despising the shame. He didn't like that shame. I mean, hung like naked in front of the world. And it's not only that. I mean, we're going to go deeper than that. I mean, I don't know if we have time. So, it says in verse 3. It says, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. I mean, this is amazing. It says, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. And it says, consider that. What? It is a contradiction. I mean, for a just man to get killed for criminals. It is a contradiction. It is a contradiction, I mean, for God to get killed for man. I mean, man should get killed for God. I mean, is that... And Voodoo, that's exactly what happened. I mean, their God just ordered them to kill the babies. Their God just ordered them, I mean, he wants to drink blood and just go and kill some folks for me. But now, we have a contradiction here. I mean, God Almighty, I mean, Jesus Christ, I mean, who never sinned, even not even one time. So, he's the one that has to pay the price. He didn't do it. I mean, just for us. But he says, listen, consider that. I mean, just like meditate upon that. I mean, regard that. Examine that. Just consider that. If you don't, lest you be weary and faint. Because if you don't consider that, I mean, one day you might just walk out of this church. I mean, we need to consider that. If we don't, that's a lot of people don't consider that enough. Or they just consider it for a little bit of a moment and the cares of this life just kick them out. So, he says, consider that. If you don't, so you will be weary one day. And you might faint. And then, boom, there's no more prayer. There's no more Bible study. There's no more church. And that's it. So, we're out of church. Out of the church. That's it. So, consider that. For example, when you go to chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 2. Seems like we're going to go fast. Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 9. It says, verse 9. It says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. I mean, Jesus Christ died by the grace of God, and we got eternal life by the grace of God. I mean, you see, God says, you know what? Son, come. I'll send you over there. So, by my grace, and you go and die for it. Because that's my will. That's what I want. I mean, go there and die. I give you enough grace and go and do it. I mean, Jesus Christ died by the grace of God and we get eternal life by the grace of God. It's amazing. I mean, just like the preacher said, and it's written before me, let's go to chapter 5, where we are, where you are. Chapter 5. Chapter 5. Just trying to run here because I want to get to a point. Verse 7. It says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard, and that he feared. I mean, Jesus Christ feared that thing. He feared that thing. I mean, guys, he went all the way to hell. And the Bible says Jesus Christ actually became a womb. When he was sweating blood, He says in Matthew, Matthew 26, he was sweating blood because he felt like the dying of his soul. And that's what it says in Matthew 26, I think 38 to 39. If you read it, you can see it. So, he says right here, the father heard him because he feared what was going to happen. Guys, it's one thing to actually bruise on the cross, but it's another thing to actually go and pay the full price in hell. Where his soul was offered for sins. He didn't just go there and dump the sin. He actually stayed there in that fire and became a womb. And Moses showed you that clearly. On the pole, listen, this is a serpent savior. So look upon him and you get saved, and the people that were bitten by the other snakes. And that helped me to, that helped reminded me, Moses had a staff that became a serpent. And Pharaoh had another one. And that was, the Lord had a serpent, and there was another serpent. Moses' staff that became that serpent, swallowed the other one. How can you imagine that Christ became that? Christ feared that thing. And he made the fire. And he made it for spirits. And he knows that if a spirit falls into that fire, there's no chance not to become a womb. There's no chance, not to take the very form of the devil. It didn't only became the very sin, the very body of sin. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, verse 21. He became sin for us. He was not a sinner. But he became the very body. And that was the only time that the Lord, God, the Father, just turned. Because he couldn't look that thing. It was so dirty, so nasty, so filthy. And I said, what? If God endured all these things, the Bible says, consider that. Because if you don't, you will be weary. And you will faint. Consider that. Keep that thing in front of your eyes all the time. Keep it in your heart. Walk with it, run with it. Whatsoever you do, do it with it. Because if not, one day we might get faint. And have you ever thought, this church gets faint, and then the church gets destroyed, and then your pastor gets destroyed? I tell you, have you ever thought of how many missionaries, how many other works that could get destroyed? Because this church has become the source. It has become the source. A lot of others will go down. Sometimes you have an encouragement. It could be another spiritual brother. It could be your pastor. I tell you, if he goes down, that thing can destroy you. Or you might be able to continue. But the Bible says consider that. Don't let that thing get away from you. We don't care how many other messages, you heard. But listen, the Bible says, consider that, lest you be worried. I remember Brother Jesse one time that just left the church in Delaware. And he said, one message of discouragement. He heard from the cross that was like, so sad, we need to stay in the cemetery. He actually left Pastor, he just left Pastor Armin, and he just went. And after that, he was so miserable, he started crying and wanted to come back. But spend a few months out. You need to consider that at all times. So, it says, where are we? Let's go to Acts chapter 2. The promise, if you want to write, is in Isaiah 49, verse 8. The promise that the Father gave unto him, it gives one we read in verse 7. So the other one is in Isaiah 49, verse 8. We're trying to run. That's why we don't go to it. So Acts chapter 2. Verse 27. Acts chapter 2, verse 27. It says, Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. And thank God. I mean, the Lord gave him, the Father gave him the promise that he believes. I mean, the Lord didn't leave him in hell, and his body didn't get corrupted, I mean, to become the very woman to eat the body. I mean, it's not only the soul that can become worms in hell, the body actually produces a lot of worms that eat up the body. So, it seems like, his body didn't get corrupt. That didn't happen in his body. And his soul that actually became the worm and didn't stay there because the Lord, God the Father, gave him the promise and got him out of it. So, verse 31. He seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Let's go to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, verse 10. Isaiah 53, verse 10. It says, Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. See, I mean, Jesus Christ, the Father was pleased to just do it to him. When he had offered his soul an offering for my sin and for your sin. And he says, after that, I mean, he says, he shall see his seed and he shall prolong his days. Verse 11. He says, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. And I thank God that he has done that for me. But if you put, I mean, like Galatians 3, I mean 13, that says he had become a curse for us. If you put all these things together, plus John 3, I think 14, when, I mean, Moses actually put the serpent on the pole. And then let's go to Job 17. You see that this, I mean, Christ actually had become the worm. Job 17, verse 14. And he lost the form of his body in hell. Job 17. Verse 14. Job 17, verse 14. It says, I have said to corruption, thou art my father. To the womb, thou art my mother and my sister. Actually, Job didn't go there. Job didn't go there. That's a prophecy concerning Jesus Christ. When you go to Psalms 22. Psalms 22. Psalms 22, verse 6. Psalms 22, verse 6. Psalms 22. It says, but I am a womb. And no man, a reproach of men, a despise of the people. That's the prophecy concerning Jesus Christ. It says, I'm a worm and no man. I mean, he lost the form of his soul in hell, and he became the very image of the very ugliest thing. I mean, the very filthy thing. I mean, this thing, my mind said, man, this is amazing. I mean, for God to go that low. I mean, for a sinner. And for God to go that low for a sinner. Just that we could get saved. Amen. I mean, that thing, a sinner that is died without Christ will pay the full price by himself. That's exactly what will happen to him. He will take the image of his own father in hell as a womb. And actually, Christ took that same very image in hell and became a womb. Just like we don't have to go there. I mean, for us never to go there. I mean, he was bruised on the cross. I mean, for us never to go there. And it's just amazing. I mean, he says, listen, if you do not keep reminding yourself that, listen, you will not endure. I mean, keep reminding yourself that. I mean, for you to endure. I mean, if something happened to you, you said, man, I mean, in Haiti, the Protestants, they call all the religions, I mean, besides Catholic, the Protestants. And I always told them there's a difference between Protestants and Christian. And the other difference, when they say they talk about a good Christian in Haiti, they talk about the Catholic. It's just so sad. When they talk about a good quality, more Christian in Haiti, they talk about the Catholic man or a Catholic woman. And this is sad, but that's just the way it is. So, and we thank God, I mean, for everything that He has done. It's just amazing, I mean, to see that God had to pay the full price. I mean, we do not have to just go there and get involved in it. Because we should have paid for our own sin. And when they say He paid the full price, we start at Calvary. No, He went all the way. And He knows that the Father made the promise. He said He will preserve him. So He went and the Father preserved him and got him out of it. But He got the full pain. He got the full pain. Just like the man in Luke 16 that says, you know, go to my brother, I don't want them to come in this fire. I mean, he got it all. It was like so amazing. That we need always to remember that His soul was offered for us in hell. Consider that, lest we be worried. Let's go to, Romans chapter 9, verse 22. Romans chapter 9, verse 22. Romans chapter 9, verse 22. It says in verse 22, what if God, willing to show His wrath and to make His power known? I mean, can you think of that, Christian? I mean, what if God willing to show His might? I mean, to show the world that He is powerful. I tell you, that thing, I mean, everybody would get killed. Especially these days, I mean, for the sin of the world. I mean, everybody would get killed. I mean, I know that with Christians, probably the Lord will just get us out of this place, I mean, to actually destroy the world. But what if God willing to show His wrath and to make His power known and endued with much long-suffering, the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. The vessels of wrath are the vessels of clay. And these are the vessels that are going to get destroyed. And God endured all the irritation, all the griefs that, you know what's sad? What is sad is, for example, we are Christians are saved. I mean, sometimes we know that Christians that try their best to still spit on the face of Christ. I mean, you got some Christians that try their best to still punch Him in the face. I mean, this is really sad. Because sometimes I said to the people, you know, I believe that the Lord has a heart just like ours. I mean, He has feelings. I mean, I believe that sometimes, I mean, people that are saved could make him cry. You say, how is that? I mean, have you ever made your parents cry? I mean, when you do something wrong, and they love you, and they will do anything for you, and you go out and break their hearts. And I believe the Lord feels the same way. And I said, Lord, I mean, give me enough grace that I may not make you cry. Because I've seen some Christians, I mean, I've seen a lot of stuff that are terrible. It's just amazing. I've seen some people that come to the church just to destroy other folks. And you know what? They will be sitting there for 3-4 years. And they're not interested in the good preaching that you're interested in. They just want to get somebody out of this church. So that's that. And I remember in our own church, there was a guy that stayed out, he would not come in, and he would pay the young lady to come here, to come in the church to bring him some other young ladies. I mean, all these things break the Lord's heart, but the person will be sitting here for like 2-3 years. But he's not interested. Or she's not interested. So I believe that the Lord, we can break His heart. But what if you're willing to show, I mean, His wrath? I tell you, there will be nothing left. I mean, He will just destroy these vessels of clay. Because that's exactly what we are. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Chapter 2, verse 3. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Okay, verse 3 and 4, he says, Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, knowing that God entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him, and that has chosen him to be a soldier. I mean, we know that we are in a war, and it is a spiritual war, and the Bible says to endure whatsoever it might be, whatsoever the Lord might allow to be thrown at you. I mean, to endure it. You see, sometimes it could be good to tell somebody, you know, just endure it. But when the Lord actually put us in the fire, I mean, will we endure? I mean, when we are going through things, it's different than when we're just giving out, you know, on advice, or we just encourage somebody. And we need to encourage somebody. So it says, listen, endure it as a good soldier, whatsoever the Lord might be throwing in life. I don't care what it is. I mean, whatsoever it might be. I remember one time in Haiti, I got so sick, I was calling Pastor Vich's doctor. Doctors, I mean, I was talking to him on the phone, because I wanted to know what to do. And in Haiti, I couldn't find, you know, any help. And I wasn't married long with my wife, and I had to tell her, listen, honey, that's just the way it is. In case, you know, if I die, this is what to do. This is what to do. Sometimes, I mean, you come to the reality of it. I mean, you have to just face it, and then you just have to go through it. I mean, if I die, I die. I mean, that's not a big deal. So, but what would break your heart if just, you know, leave two little ones? I mean, the world is waiting for to get just swallow them and all destroy them. But I just thank God that, I mean, she has come to a good family. And I believe that the Lord will make the provision even if I'm not here. I mean, just to help the boys to grow. I mean, for the world not to just swallow them. Because the Lord might have a plan for you, but the devil has a plan. I mean, for each one of you that are sitting here. So when the Christians refuse to endure hardness as a good soldier, I mean, you will be weary, and you may faint. So whatsoever that might be. So we don't like it, just like Jesus Christ didn't, you know, enjoy that, you know, going to hell and stuff. He didn't. But he did it for the joy that was set before him. That joy was not hell. That joy was not the cross. That joy was you. That joy was us. I mean, he see us. I mean, eternity with him, having eternal life. I mean, that's a joy for the Lord. I mean, to see us winning crowns. I mean, coming back probably in the millennial reign and to reign with him. That's a joy that he sees. He says, okay, and for a little moment, he just endured the whole thing. And I thank God for that. So it says, endure it, Christians. Chapter 4, verse 2. It says, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long sufferings in doctrine. Why? Because he says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. He says, Timothy, listen, man, just go and do it. He says, when? I mean, I don't care if it's cold, if it's hot. I mean, if it's morning, if it's night. Because soon enough, they will not endure it. They will not receive it from you. I mean, something too heavy to bear. I mean, we are in this generation right now. We are. I remember there's a brother that's coming to my church, and she met a sister on the way, and she said to him, are you still going to that church? He said, yeah. He says, she said, is the pastor still preach the same way? And he said, yes. And she said, I can't come. I mean, she cannot come because she believes that it's a torture. It's not a torture. I mean, we don't take pleasure in torturing people. No, we won't do it. It's not a torture. But Paul says to Timothy, listen, man, there will be a time they will not endure it. They will not listen to it. They will not pay attention to it. They will not care for it. So now, if you have a little bit of time, just do it. Even if it's snowing outside. I mean, you see the Jehovah's Witnesses do it under the snow. And they have nothing to offer. They have nothing to give. But they do it. But listen, if we have a little bit of time, I mean, we have a little bit of people that can hear, we better just do it because the time is closing on us. And you know, another sad story, America is closing. That's really sad. Because I remember 26 years ago when I just came here. So that was a different country. I mean, beautiful. And I believe that I was not saved, but I believe that people would take the tracks, you know, I mean, with a smile. 26 years ago. But now it's just so terrible. I mean, what's going on? It says, Timothy, this is what it is. So there will be a time, and this is the time now. It says, but after their own lust, will they have heaped to themselves teachers having itching ears? And they will, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. And this is the time. And I'm glad that Timothy probably enjoyed, I mean, the counseling and went out and do it, because the time is shining on us. And that's why, if the Lord would give us, I mean, this last bang or this last favor, we would love, I mean, to just get these Bibles into the hands of the preachers and try to help some churches, because the time is closing. And I don't think we have much time. And I thank God. I said, Lord, Haiti is a poor country, I know. But truly, you can preach in the streets, you can preach in the television, you can preach in the radio station. That's good. That's very good. I mean, so far. Because you never know what can happen. And one day or one night says, forget it. Anybody that just go and preach anywhere, you're going to die. That's why we want to just little time that is left, we want to just grab it and do something with it. Because the time is closing. And we don't have much time. So, it says, and do that thing, and go and do it. It says in verse 4 and verse 5, it says, but watch thou in all things, and do afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of your ministry. So you, Timothy, have to endure. I mean, whomsoever the Lord will send, will have to endure. I mean, sometimes you go out and give out with the tracts and you see that somebody wants to spit in your face. I mean, endure the afflictions for the Lord's sake, that somebody could get saved. I mean, it's not easy to say. But the Lord will give us grace on the field. I mean, to be able to endure some things. I mean, probably some other folks can get saved. I mean, the times is closing on us. And it's a sad thing. I mean, I've heard a judge over there in Texas that said that, he said, if you go to the internet, you'll see it, because I was watching it. He says, the Obama administration will actually go sign all the local laws over to the UN. And he says, he's going to take guns, and he said there's a lot of sheriffs that he invited with him, and a lot of guys that have been into Vietnam. So he invited. I mean, he said, they're not going to come here, and we're going to have to shoot. But, you know, take the guns or not, if the time is, I mean, the time has prophesied already in the Bible, if this is the time, I tell you, if Obama doesn't sign it, somebody else will have to sign it. And if you take arms, I mean, you just go and shoot some folks, I mean, you're going to die for nothing and go to hell. And they're going to die for nothing and go to hell. Because if the time has come, it is. Because somebody has to sign this thing over to the UN, which is the army of the Antichrist. And it will have to be done, whether we like it or not. But it's sad. It's really sad. I mean, you feel like crying, you feel like doing something, but it's better pray. It's better that we pray and not do something, you know, not do anything. Because the Lord has the control over this thing. It will happen whether we like it or not. So, that's what it is. Let's go to Peter. I mean, we just, 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to close, because I skipped James. First Peter chapter 2, verse 19. It says, for this is thankworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endured grief, suffering wrongfully. I mean, this is terrible. I mean, it is. I mean, to accept the sufferings, it is hard. It is a very hard thing. I mean, sometimes, I mean, we want to kick, we want to hell, I mean, we scream and everything, but it is the quality. It's something that is honorable. I mean, if it is for the Lord, for conscience sake, I mean, for conscience that we have toward God, and we just endure a few things that the Lord can get the glory. I mean, consider, I mean, what the Lord had done. He didn't endure all, I mean, the cross, he endured hell, just we can have eternal life. That we don't have to just go ahead and faint. A last verse, I remember, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. That's the last verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, or verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. It says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, light affliction, which is but for a moment, it worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I mean, this is amazing. I mean, the thing that we endure here, if it isn't the Lord's will, I mean, that thing will make us a heavy weight in heaven. I mean, the heavy weight, these guys that have the big belt and a lot of, you know, money and everything. No, we're not talking about the money down here. But that thing can make us a heavy weight in heaven if we just endure the light affliction, because we don't have to go to hell. I mean, there are certain things, I mean, they don't have to just, I mean, hang us on the cross. And they didn't just hang him. I have a medical examination, I remember a long time ago, on Christ. I mean, how they actually pull out his skin. They just hung just like somebody's tails. I mean, the way they pull out his skins. I mean, when they actually throw the whip, that thing just hung on his skin. And when they pull it back, and just that thing came up with his skin. And that thing was extremely painful. And that was not the worst pain. The worst pain was in hell. And God says, listen, consider that. Because if you don't, you will faint on the way. Because if you have a little strength, you will faint. So, we better pray that the Lord show us a lot of grace. That we may continue. Because I remember one time, Pastor Rich may never tell you that. He was saying, that's a long time ago. He says, man, I would pray that the Lord probably send me to Italy as a missionary. I said, man, I would pray against that. I said, I would pray against that. You would pray for the Lord to send you to Italy as a missionary? I would pray against that. Yeah, because all the pastors that he's been helping, if they are wise, they should pray against that. Exactly. You want to destroy everything? I mean, praise the Lord. So may the Lord bless you. Come on, guys.